Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. If you have any prayer requests or correspondence you would like to send to us, you can do that by going to our contact page on warn-usa.com and send all your requests there. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Twitter by using hashtag WatchmanIS216 and also hashtag Warn Radio. On Instagram, it's hashtag Warn Radio. You can find us on LinkedIn with hashtag Watchman. And join us on USA.life and MeWe with hashtag Warn Radio. Join us on Parler with at WatchmanDGS and CloudHub with at Warn Radio. You can listen to our shows and read the articles by The Watchman by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Warn Radio Network is also available through the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Block Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Deezer, Anchor, and Podchaser. Be sure to check out the latest articles by The Watchman. This week we feature politically, outrageously immoral, and it is shaking, stirring, and seditious. It is not an iota of difference from the torrid cheating in the elections around the world. Every demagogue, socialist hellhole, and left-wing dictator do it. Also, beholding God, greater things than these. The world may not know it, but one day they will. From the least to the greatest, all will know the truth. Kingdom of God. And those two articles can be found on danaglennsmith.com. And go to warn-usa.com to read the latest article by The Watchman, Tide, Time, and Eternity. These three will meet at the Lord's coming until that moment when life on planet Earth changes forever. Humans will live as if there is no tomorrow. And now I welcome in The Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn. Greetings. Welcome to Snowy Friday. Our 2 inches turned out to be a little bit more. But boy, if you're back east, they have quite a storm going on back there. Another Friday, it is December. And they're still battling over the election. There's no doubt that they got to get this thing straightened out. The Democrats need to come together with the Republicans, and they need to verify that these Dominion machines and everything related was not tampered with. But we have the evidence, And it's been released more and more, and the evidence is clear that there was tampering. There was also people doing it, people that didn't want Trump in. So the bottom line of it is that you have a lot of people, because of hatred, who not only despise Trump, they despise those who support them. They don't like the Christians and the gospel. They don't like pro-life. They don't like us against abortion, for sure. So there's a lot of reasons why there's divisions. The number one is the devil don't want anybody to like Trump or like his agenda, because he wants to destroy America. Nevertheless, today we are in the book of Romans. We have finished our kingdom warfare, which was 12 parts. And you can find it over on our website at warren-usa.com. A study on the book of Romans, presenting that the saints are the called of Jesus Christ and given the testimony of Jesus Christ. We did this study back in, I think it was 2016. It was called Romans Called to be Saints. And I have been for a good 2 years at least upgrading all the posts, all the videos, I mean the audios and everything on the websites. We're just about done with that. It's taken quite a while to do it, because every post, every audio, everything is looked at so we can get everything the way we want it. Called of Christ, Book of Romans, Part 1. You're listening to Sound the Shofar. Tower gave the intro. This is the welcome the Shabbat, welcome the weekend show. By the time we get to Friday, we are ready for the weekend. But anymore, you know, people have got to guard their faith, guard their family. You know, even in the Empire of the Romans, we found the civil power, the military power, and also the power of God through Christ. It was in this massive kingdom of the Romans, centered in Rome, Italy. It was the biggest power then at that time. They had communications, they had a senate, they had slaves, they had free people that were Romans. That's what Paul was. He was freeborn. And so in a lot of ways, they had the senate like we do. Corruption came in. Rome eventually fell. But they had a lot of nutty leaders by the name of Caesars. And over the years, I have said this, and over the years, I have taught, and we have gotten into the Word of God. And also through our advocacy program for the persecuted church, when we look around at the kingdoms of men, the nations of men, we see that the one issue they have in common is the leadership for a nation, and it's the leadership that usually is responsible for troubles within that nation, including the judgment of God. This was very real in the time of Israel, and even today in America, our leadership. Up till the time that Trump came in, nobody really dealt with the issue. Now, if you don't like Trump, that's life. But the fact of the matter is, this guy did more things in 4 years than anybody I've ever seen. And the people were mad at him because, especially the liberal press, because he was so direct with them. They had been in bed with globalists for a long time. And he called them out. But more than that, he has a lot of things under his belt. And if you really, truly want to find out, you can. If you want to be deceived, listen to the fake news. They'll tell you a bunch of lies. They lie outright. And, of course, within the confines of this battle, we wound up divided. Now, see, Rome, in its power, eventually wound up divided. The Roman Empire split. And then after the split, it fell. So if you think a divided America is going to survive, you're crazy. If you think a civil war leading to two Americas, or an America and a non-America on this continent, you're mistaken. Neither one will survive. So in the Empire of the Romans, we find all three of those powers. And you find the Roman power, which had the military, the civil authority, the organization, the roads. They had everything. They were responsible for it. And then there was the power of God through Christ, demonstrated through a small band of Jews who followed this Jewish prophet who had been hung up on a cross in the Roman Empire. And the Romans were really accustomed to crucifying people. That was their penalty. And as the book of Romans unfolds, Paul's in Corinth writing to the Romans in Rome. Isn't that funny? Romans in Rome? Romans were actually all over the place. You couldn't get away from the Roman power at that time. Now, the book of Romans itself has quite a history to it, because Clement of Rome, Ignatius, Polycarp, Justin, Marcion, or Marcion have all quoted the book of Romans. It has a lot of major important doctrinal issues that were vital to the believers. They were living in the pagan city. Barnes writes about it, saying Rome itself, when we picture it at the date of the epistle, as containing with its suburbs a closely massed population of perhaps 800,000 people, a motley host of many races with a strong Oriental element, among which the Jews were present as marked influence, despised and sometimes dreaded, but always attracting curiosity. And so it is that those small band of apostles saw the church grow, miracles, signs, and wonders. And so, being quoted by a lot of the church fathers, Romans, in general, has been recognized within the Christian community as a Pauline doctrine, Pauline epistle, rather, including in the Bible. Now, Paul was at the time of this writing in some city. Romans 16:23. He was staying with Gaius, or another interpretation is Caius, C-A-I-U-S. Not sure of the pronunciation. And in 1 Corinthians 1:14, Gaius closely connected with Paul and a Corinthian. He commends to the Romans the deaconess Phoebe, attached to the church at Cenchreae. That's in Romans 16:1, which was presumably what we gather. It was a place near from where he was writing. Cenchreae was the southern part of Corinth. And a little bit of the opening, we're going to go through a few scriptures that are opening. And then we will get into the main part of the scripture itself. And the opening of that, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. There's one thing I like about the Gospels, about the writing in the Bible, is that you have both the intro and the closing statements. And when you get to the intro, it tells you pretty much what is, you know, who's doing what. Here we have Paul, identifying immediately with the servant as a servant of Jesus Christ, and this would have been Jesus in the Greek. Christos. But a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. And of course, this group of apostles were those who had been with the Lord, who had seen the Lord, who had had visions of full visions or a personal appearance by the Lord himself. They were the first-hand witnesses to the Son of God. And so we have here Jesus Christ, Yeshua, who is the Son of Almighty God and our Father. And this is, of course, after the resurrection and him ascending. After, of course, Pentecost, called to be an apostle, which he was born out of time, actually a little bit separated from the other apostles, absolutely. He says he was the last of them. Separated under the gospel of God. So you have pretty much the whole thing here. You have he who has come to bring the gospel of God given to the apostles who were to carry the mantle, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, which Paul immediately points to the fact that Yahshua had been already revealed through the prophets. And it is amazing. We are in Isaiah right now on Wednesdays. And we're in part 74, which represents 74 hours of teachings. And we're probably halfway or a little more than halfway through the book of Isaiah. And it's amazing how when you go through the prophets, you find Christ in them. So in verse 2, which he had promised afore by his, or before, by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now this is very important because this links back to David and to the promise made to David that he would never want for someone of his line to sit upon the throne. And of course, Matthew does go back and gives you the generation. And so we can find the history. We can find the absolute connection to Judah, to David, and to the promises. And this is part of that, what we call the red thread of redemption running through the Tanakh or the Old Testament. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now see, there's one thing about Yahshua. He said, if you don't believe what I say, believe the works that I do. Because the Father that is in me doeth the works. And there is no doubt. I mean, even today we see miracles in the name of the Son of God. And when you get over in some of the toughest areas for the gospel, you find Old Testament type miracles. You find apostolic type miracles. And you find in the midst of the enemy, God has been glorified. The Lord is being revealed and miraculous things are happening. We cover this. And we have, through the contacts, and it's not just us, but there's others also. God is moving in the world. And of course, that is Scripture. And this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come. The end isn't going to come until the gospel is going to be preached in all the world. No matter, as you sit in America and we're going through some tough times, there's nothing in the Bible that says we can't be going through our own trials, tribulations, and things here in America and around the world while the gospel's going through. Matter of fact, when it is impossible for men, that's when it, I mean, I've seen it so many times. God is able to move. And that's the one thing that we've seen. And Tower and I have been dealing with this with our ministry probably clear from the get-go back in 73. So we've been on this walk for a long time. We've seen a lot of things. And it doesn't mean we're the Elijahs of America. We're not. But we are people that have seen God's grace and His power in our lives and in the lives of others. We don't need other people to tell us he does miracles. We don't need other people to tell us that he heals. We already know that. We know who he is. And see, his sheep hear his voice. And Paul is relating this personal. First of all, his authority. His authority as a servant of Jesus Christ, connected as an apostle, which would make that connection intimately knowing him because Christ revealed himself to him, separated unto the gospel. The gospel of God, which had been promised through the prophets, and the prophets concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, came from the seed of David according to the flesh. Those first three paragraphs encapsulate the gospel itself and the truth of what we do. Now the other truth is, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He was resurrected from the dead, being seen alive of the apostles, and as many as 500 at once. And of course, this dates back. This also includes when we talk about Passover, when we talk about first fruits, when we talk about going all the way, the Feast of Weeks, going to Passover, all those, that whole thing, all those in there, Christ fulfilled. They were a shadow of things to come. And see, can you imagine being there after people seeing him on the cross dying, being carried away, put in the tomb? He was in there. And then he was resurrected from the dead. And people saw him. Literally saw him. And when he appeared to the apostles, you know, he was saying, come, see, look, touch my skin. You know, I'm not a spirit. This is flesh here. And that's very important. Because you have to understand. Remember, he was dead. His body was decaying. And three days they begin to speak. 4 days are really getting bad. But he did not in any way suffer those things. The body that he had, and remember what he said to Mary, do not touch me, for I have not ascended to my Father yet. He had to ascend to his Father. And I believe that reception is actually found in the book of Revelation, where the Lamb crucified, as it was slain, appears before the throne of God who opened the book. All of that represents the victory that Christ was able to do, to finish and open the seals to the book of Revelation, which would reveal his kingdom and God's judgment upon this world and everything, and the restoration of everything. And he says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom you are also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from our God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Romans 16:1, I commend you unto Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchreae. Remember, that was in Corinth. Romans 16:22, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, I find that interesting. He wrote the epistle as Paul told him. Salute you in the Lord. Gaius, my host, and the whole church saluteth you. Erasmus, the chamberlain of the city, salutes you, and Cordus, a brother. You know, it just sounds like such a fellowship here. I mean, this is in the Roman Empire. And he was there with Paul, and they were with Gaius, who was the host, and there was also a whole church there that would meet together. Doesn't say anything about the kind of building, but at that time, a lot of times as the apostle, they would meet people down at a gathering place down by the stream or something. They would always find them somewhere. 1 Corinthians 1:14 says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. And this Gaius is the same, we believe, as the Gaius in Romans 16:23, my host. And so you can see a connection there, as Paul is, because he also refers to Cenchreae, which is in Corinth. And it's found, this one, that I baptize none of you but Crispus and Gaius, is a letter to the Corinthians. So it's all connection. You can find this, and you can see a fellowship of people that are closely knit. And of course, as we watch the church grow throughout the Roman Empire, there were 10 major persecutions of Christians throughout that time. And it didn't wipe the church out. In fact, the church became the religion of the region, of the whole Roman Empire. And now, when we talk about Romans and the date it was written, and when we get, that's Romans 15, he was finishing his work in the East and he was going west. But we find in Romans 15 that he was going to revisit Jerusalem. And he had a collection of books and stuff, more than likely. He always had parchments with him, mainly made in Macedonia and Achaia for the poor saints. Oh, well, a collection. Yeah, duh. Excuse me. I was thinking of his parchments. No, this was the money that he had taken that was given to the poor saints. That was his missions outreach. And so, in Romans 15, we have here, "But now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." Of course, the saints at Jerusalem had the Jews over them to keep them poor. They wouldn't hire them, wouldn't work with them. Jerusalem should have been a place of prosperity, but it wasn't for those connected to this Messiah, mainly because of the Jews there and the power that the Jews had. So, when you put a lot of the references to the collection and Paul taking it to Jerusalem, scholars date Romans about the same time as 2 Corinthians, just before the visit to Jerusalem narrated in Acts 20. And so they say the date will be fixed with great probability as 58 AD, about 30 years at the most after the crucifixion. I find this all interesting when we talk about it. Actual history. In Acts 20 then, where we mentioned before, after the uproar was ceased, Paul was called unto him the disciples, embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. And in verse 3, he abode there 3 months. And of course, the Jews were laying wait for him. And Aristarchus was with him. Timothy was with him. And it was during the time of unleavened bread when they sailed away from that region at Philippi. You can see this in Acts 21 through 6. I mean, I like this because it tells you about the living, breathing, walking of the gospel. I mean, we have the gospel that goes out now around the world. We've been doing it for a long time. We were some of the first ones online, literally. I was working on how to do it. In our region, when the internet first came up, it was 1,200 KBs, which is nothing. And that was in the early days of America Online. And computers, I mean, everything has changed today. But nobody was doing audio like we do today. Now see, this is very important to the gospel, because there's a lot of people around the world that are so persecuted, and they need to get the word. And it's dangerous for them because their houses are searched, they're searched. And so the gospel is going around the world on our websites at warren-usa.com. And over the years, I've built, I don't know, probably 15, 20 different websites where we put the gospel out. Now we have two. That's what we keep, no more. And I take care of all of that. You know, that's just the way it is. That's the work. And so you see this going out. But Paul and the apostles, I mean all of them, all the apostles and even the saints, when persecution began to arise, many of them had to go underground. And in Rome, they went into the catacombs, as well known from history. But the rest of them, we found them actually in Turkey. Bear Grylls, matter of fact, I don't know if you know him, but he's an adventurous. He does a lot of things, survivalist, well known. I seen one of his episodes where he was in Turkey. And he came to a place where he said the early Christians hid out here from persecution. And he found all of their catacombs, their caves that they had built there. This is in Turkey. This is not in Italy. This is in Turkey. And you look at it, and they're clear up high on the wall. And I don't know how they got up there, but they did. And then they had these long, dark caves that if someone did make it up, they could run in them. And he was saying that all those tunnels are so long, it's hard to find anybody in them. They're just pitch black. Nobody could find them. But that's how they survived. And it's interesting to know how these things happen. Because you and I, living in modern America, in this modern world, are spoiled. You know, and I mean, I have a microphone, I have computer processors, I have programs, I've got things to do, all the work we do to get the work out, to get the word out. And it goes around the world, literally. And we've had contacts from people around the world. We've had people from just about every nation there is that has an internet that's been to our sites over the last way more than 2 decades now. And of course, it's totally different. I mean, pioneer churches, for instance, might have 100, 200, very rarely 300, a pioneer church in America. And I know what a home missions pastor does. I know what it's like. I've been it was a home missions church. So I know the poverty. I mean, you're preaching the gospel and you're living in a little scanty trailer, and you look through the floorboards of the trailer, you know, I'm sitting on the bed and you're looking down, you can see the dirt underneath the thing. I mean, that's home missions. That's what it was. And, but it's totally different. I mean, we don't get that picture, but see, in Acts, in Romans, in some of these things, the way the apostles write it, it's personable. And so they're writing truth, but you have to get to the humanness of this, that these were real people, that Paul was really called. He was really, you know, one of those that persecuted the Christians, and God saved him. Now, I can tell you that's amazing that that happens, but we see it today. We've had testimony today from people that are alive today, and we've been in contact with some of their office people, one in particular up in Canada, who explained to us some of the stuff as well. But, you know, we see enemies of God coming to him, repenting. And we see the results of signs and wonders when the enemy came to kill the Christians that were trying to baptize the new converts, and God intervened. This is a true story. And God sent a storm and a dust storm. They couldn't see nothing, and he appeared in the storm to them and said, "I am Jesus, and I died on the cross for your sins." That's what they testified. And they left, and the people were safe, got baptized, and later the leader of the group that wanted to kill him came back and met with the guy he was trying to kill and got saved. He repented. And he became a preacher, and he's involved in their churches and preaching to other Muslims. I mean, folks, this is real life. Now, in America, we get deluded by the lies and the stuff. You need to filter through this, and you need to stay away from a lot of this news. And you need to stop feeding your spirit with this garbage that's on Twitter, this garbage that's in a lot of the social feeds, the hatred, and just the vileness that is in this country and the world. Folks, there's a lot of vile filth out there. And there's a lot of young kids that are filthy and vile because they've been taught to be that way. Our churches have failed. The message hasn't been preached. The preachers and, you know, I mean, here I hear about all these prophets. I hear about all these apostles. I hear about all these so-called leaders of the church. And yet I look at the generations of children who are lost. Yeah, we haven't been doing our business. And I include myself in that too, because I live in this country too. Now, the people are responsible, yes, but there's also been the fact that a lot of our schools have been infiltrated by people who want to corrupt your kids. Now, see, as we look at this, now see, Paul was freeborn, and he was working now as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and that will get a lot of them in trouble, because when these Caesars come into power and they declare themselves God, you have to worship them, bow down to them. You know, they're the ones in charge. And a lot of the Christians serving another god. And another thing about them, because the Christians at that time did not have any visible signs of their faith, they considered them to be devil worshipers. Because anybody with a religion had some kind of a cross, some kind of an image, something to represent them. But see, in the Old Testament, you're not supposed to have any images of the Lord. Thou shalt not make. I mean, thou shalt not make any image of the Lord your God. The minute you take anything, a rock or a stone or a tree, and carve it into an image and have it represent God, you've just defiled the image of God, because he's perfect and these things aren't. And because you used your efforts to do it. I mean, it's total idolatry. Acts 20, 13 through 6. And of course, verse 16 says, "For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible, for him to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost." And of course, this again, what does it tell you? It tells you that the apostles kept the feast of the Lord. And, you know, over the centuries, the church divided totally and got away from a lot of these because they wanted to be separated from the Jewishness of this. That's really hard to do. I've taught about this extensively. Nevertheless, the situation is that Paul had to go to Jerusalem. Of course, from Jerusalem, he wound up back up in Rome. So now we see Rome, 800,000 people, many races. And when you talk about advent of Christianity, when it first came there, we don't really know when Christianity first got up there. But if you go back to Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, see, it was at Pentecost where Peter gave the message and he stood up. And it was the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And he told them what to do. So it's a good solid evidence that some of those, because at Pentecost there were Jewish, because Pentecost is one of the three feasts that you have to go to Jerusalem. And so they were there when that happened. And they went back to Rome and took the gospel with him, and it got rooted there. I mean, that's a good natural way, supernatural way, God reaching them when they got there at Pentecost, because this was a big deal. Because in Acts 2:10, it says, Perga, Pamphylia in Egypt, and the parts of Libya and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Proselytes of those Gentiles who came to the Jewish faith. Strangers of Rome. So it's mentioned in Acts, so it's believed. And I think there's strong evidence just by looking at the Word of God that indeed they traveled back up to Rome and carried that gospel with them. Can you believe what I saw down in Jerusalem? God moved. We saw it with our own eyes, and they would tell it. Folks, when you experience things like that, you're going to remember it. We live in a world of atheism, skepticism, and idolatry, fornication, etc., etc. When you see a true move of God, you will never forget it. Just like when the Lord got a hold of my heart many, many years ago. I was raised in the Methodist Church. It was after I got married. Tower had already accepted the Lord at an Amway convention, if you can believe that. And the women on the bus on the way back led her to the Lord. I couldn't understand why she was crying. Well, we ended up having some problems because I wasn't where I should have been. Now, she was raised in the church. I was raised in the church. But our preachers never talked about redemption. Matter of fact, after I, you know, the Lord moved in my life, I got in the church, I got the call, and I went to Bible school. When I graduated from Bible school, I went back to my church and found the preacher inside. I found the one in the office that had one. And I talked to him about being born again. He had no clue what I was talking about. Not one clue about being saved. He looked at me like I was crazy. And so it's important, folks, for you to understand those people that are supposed to know the Word of God. There are a lot of them that don't. And that's the thing. And even the leaders of our country who should know what to do, they don't know what to do. And you look to them. A person that's lost can't lead you anywhere. And if you're in a church, man, you need to find out what they believe and if they really believe and if they've really been born again. So it's important to understand these things. Now, if you get into Acts 18:2, you are introduced to a Jew named Aquila and Priscilla. And they're well known in Christian circles. And Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. And that's pretty much the way it is. I mean, if you look around the world today, you'll find a lot of Christians being commanded to leave, especially in India. And these people are poor. They're usually down on the list of people. They're the deplorables. You know, I mean, that's what the media and a lot of them that hate Trump and his people are. They call them deplorables. Well, if you're over in India and you're on the bottom rung, you're worse than a deplorable. And these people are the ones that have jobs that clean up the poop pits. And they have no protection. I mean, I've read about some of the things these poor people have to go. And they have the faith of Christ, and they're persecuted, and they get cast out. They have no jobs. They're treated worse than dogs. That's Christianity in many regions today, folks. If you don't stand up for this America and stop those who are trying to bring in Marxism in this country, well, you're going to find an America you didn't think ever would exist. And if this country don't get its head out of the nether region and truly repent, it's going to happen anyway. But it'll be worse than what man could do. Because one thing God does when it comes to judgment, you're going to know he did it. And it ain't a good place to be. If you're going to be on the side of God, I can tell you one thing for sure. You don't want to be on the judgment side of God. Now see, all humans are on the judgment side of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then there's another little scripture. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The other one is, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So everybody sinned. And because everybody sinned, everybody's going to die. That's why Christ came. And because he died on the cross, now he has made a way. Now, in those appearances, Christ could have just destroyed him. But he tells them who he is, that he came, he died on the cross, so that they might be forgiven and live for him. And be saved. And even the Muslims who want to kill other Christians realize something that's supernatural. Oh, we've seen this. The reports. You know, folks, you need to pray for the persecuted church. Because one day America may need someone to pray for them. And if you ignore the persecuted church, people may ignore your plight. Because in this country, it is not always going to be friendly to Christianity. There's a lot of them that ain't. But see, the thing that the fake news got wrong was the fact that Trump wound up with more people that liked him and followed him and believed in what he said, because he was a pro-Israel. He moved our embassy to Jerusalem. He was anti-abortion, vehemently anti, you know, as soon as the baby gets born, they can kill it. And there's a lot of other things that represents the values of the America that many of us believe in. The fake news, for all their hates and lies, didn't stop anybody because everybody knew it. Now see, in the Roman Empire, we see the same kind of thing. People living, and there are those that are enemies. There is danger from the authorities. There's a lot of things going on. And so they had to learn to have their faith, to associate with their believer compatriots, and try not to get in trouble. And one of the biggest groups who hated him and worked hard to see him persecuted was the Jews. And the other one, remember Ephesus, Diana, a lot of them, the silver makers, made images to Diana out of silver. And that's how they made money. But when Paul and his buddies went in and started preaching, that really screwed things up for them. Because when you're a believer and you've been delivered, you're not going to want your silver idol. That's why if you have someone that's a Christian and all they clamor for is money and wealth and power and bigger houses and better cars, you know them by your fruits, folks. Now, this has pretty much been an introduction to Romans. When we come back, we're going to be back in Romans chapter 1. We'll go through the first 7 verses a little quicker this time because I've already covered it. And then we'll get into the rest of the verses. There is so much personality in here. And history says that Paul was a small man. I see a small, wiry, lively, tough apostle. Now, see, my granddad was a farmer. The other one was a cattle rancher. My roots go back to the dirt and to raising animals. And so at any rate, he was a small man, thin, but tough as nails. Tough as nails. And he would use a gun. He was a homesteader in this neck of the woods. And if he needed to use a gun to get you off the property, he'd shoot you. Just as quick as he'd talk to you. If you were threatening him or his family, and he worked hard, I worked alongside him. And one summer I was working alongside of him and I wanted to stay there. And my family was going to California to see my other grandfather. And I didn't want to go. I was going to stay with him. He says, no, you go with your family. As soon as we got to California, the word came that he had a heart attack. I hated to see him go. Nevertheless, that's life. But you see, when I look at the scripture, I find life. Not just life in the Word of God, life of the Son of God, the life of the Father, the Spirit. I see life in the people that became believers. And it changed their life. And you're reading the writ that as they wrote it down, inspired by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God was within them. And you find life, how they lived it. You don't find everything out, but you can see how they operated, what they did. You can even find contentions as of the time between Paul and one of his compatriots. They're not perfect, but they are those that know the Lord. Father, thank you for your word today. Bless your word to the hearts of those that hear it whenever they do. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Don't forget to go by our websites, warren-usa and danaglennsmith.com. warrenusa.com, danaglennsmith.com. We're also on Cloud Hub. It's either Hub or Club. Out Club. Cloud Hub. Yeah, that's what it is. Parler. USA.life. MeWe. And of course, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram and Facebook. I don't do much on Facebook. Instagram, it's a different kind of site. I have a lot of people that I follow who are doctors and things like this. There's obvious reasons for this. Facebook is entertaining, but they're getting troublesome. Hope we don't have to move there, but the bottom line of it is life is tough, Jesus is perfect, and we serve him, and there is a kingdom coming that you and I will be in, and we will be glorified. Thank God for that. Until next time, shalom, everybody. And oh, by the way, next week, being Christmas and the holidays, there's going to be a difference in the schedule. But this time we may not have anything until after January, which is our common purpose. We usually do this every year from this time until January. But our broadcasts will continue after the 1st of January. We usually have a New Year's Eve something of some kind. Watch for that. So be careful, be safe, look to the Lord. And find life in the Word of God. You'll be glad you did. Good night. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.